Dinner, Quay. How are you?
Yeah, it's very, very good. Look, I've just finished reading in the newspaper or in the Pākehā media just this very second. Minister Porto Williams, who is the Minister for Kāinga Ora Housing, said that she will reconsider the eviction notices for Kāinga Ora tenants. I personally, I'm not wondering. I'm wondering whether or not now is a good time to actually consider that. Perhaps, rather than eviction, perhaps there could be an alternative for those tenants that are proving quite difficult and unsafe for their neighbours. We wouldn't want to put anybody on the street at this particular time, let alone any time, but particularly not now, would we?
Well, this is interesting because when I was on the board, we had a pilot happen in Papakura in an area that was notoriously had lots of really bad tenants, you know. So what we did is we grabbed 40 of the whānau and we did intensive tenancy management. But more than that, we provided therapy, training, help, job support, other support, improved the houses, got them up to standard. And we actually addressed what the whānau were struggling with. 39 of those whānau have changed their lives for the better and are no longer problem neighbours. So I absolutely understand. I hate bad tenants. We've got a couple of them on our street. But you've got two dilemmas here. One, you can't evict people that are getting government housing because where do they go? It means they become someone else's problem. That means they end up on the street and they become a bigger problem. If they've got children, that makes it even harder, you know? And then you can't let them stay because they're causing problems within the neighborhood that is threatening to other people. So what do we do? Well, when there was that beheading in Wellington, we had tenants that it was a meth issue and there was a lot of meth and mental health in that housing block. We actually grabbed the street, grabbed the tenants, and we did a whole revamping. We provided services on site, counseling, therapy, support, what they needed, the tenancy managers, blah, blah. And then the community got involved. The local church came on board. The neighbours came on board. They did karakia together. They did cleansing of the properties, especially after such a traumatic effect. And it changed the whole community. So what I'm saying is we actually need community to help with community. And really, people only misbehave because they can get away with it. You'll get more compliance if you have a strong community flavour within those housing developments. Make it a home, not just a house to rent, but it's their home. Give security of tenure, give them dignity of living there, make their houses healthy again, and put an intensive tenancy where it's needed, and you will get rid of most of those problems. When I had a couple of tenants a few years ago, when I was practicing, I had brain injury survivors, Māori. They were being evicted. I contacted Manama Fox. We had them in new housing by Monday, but we placed them around whānau support. So the whānau agreed to move in and become stronger support. And we supported them in that way until we could actually get them everything they needed in their new home so they didn't become a problem. And it was turned out it was brain injury behaviors from that. So instead of addressing it, they were willing to evict them. That's wrong. What we can do is provide intensive support for those that need it. Everyone, no, people don't want to be kicked out of housing, and why should they be? I remember having a tenant they were threatening to kick out. She'd been abused her whole life through a marriage. He was dead, but she couldn't afford to mow her lawns, and they were going to kick her out. I said, have a look at her records. It turned out they owed her money. Her lawns had never been misbehaving. They cleaned the house up, and they actually did some stuff they should have done years earlier. It might be as simple as that.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, in the olden days, before my time even, they had the Māori community workers go out and about to find out
Yes.
how our whānau were doing, particularly for those that just moved to the cities. But, bring back the community workers that can keep an eye on our whānau, and they're not the social workers, or even if they are the social workers, their role has changed quite considerably, where it's become more desk bound and more administrative, really, rather than community
And
based,
that's the
eh?
problem. Yeah, we've gone away from grassroots. Probably the only ones that are still grassroots voluntary is the Māori wardens. and they use them on our trains and stuff. And I believe they should be getting paid. But also, they're grassroots. We trust them. We know them. We don't see them as cops or social workers, police. You know, they're not going to do something to us. You can tend to know that if they tell a young rangatahi to behave on the train, that rangatahi is going to behave. You know, whereas they'll give lip to the local train conductor. There's a different relationship. We need to bring that back. Absolutely agree. The old days with babies, we used to have the karatani nurses, and they used to go into the home and actually teach people how to be parents, how to cook, how to clean, how to do the things. If they were stressing, they'd give them time out. We don't do any of those things now, and we've got people in huge crisis situations with COVID, whānau struggling. You know, there's been no increases in benefits and that. People are on the edge right now, and it's really important. Instead of evicting, why don't you find out what's going on and actually support them? And that elderly couple need to be supported and to feel safe as well.
Absolutely. Look, so I've just finished speaking with Dr. Curtis Walker as well too, around transplants, kidney transplants. You're going into an Oikea Health Hui Wānanga, talking about inequities. So I spoke to him about
I did.
inequities in transplants. You're talking about inequities. Inequity seems to be a buzzword. It's very on
Yeah.
trend at the moment because it is absolutely critical. What's your hui about?
It was actually about inequities in health, and it was around Māori. And there were some very good speakers, Clive Aspin, of course, Sharon Shea. They talked about the new health authority. They talked about some of the limitations already around funding and finding out that they actually have got a tighter, they haven't got as much freedom as they initially thought they would have. And some of the things that were promised is not in the legislation. So they're doing some work to advocate to make it a better. Otherwise, it becomes no more than another DHB type service running centrally and have no relationship with the people on the ground. And that's not what they're wanting. I've organised a meeting with them to discuss our hauwā Māori so that whānau hauwā can have a voice at the table. And the inequity in health is across the board. And what was interesting is, even though we all keep talking, we keep trying to make differences, it comes down to the pūtea. And honestly, they're getting far less. I mean, I don't know if you're aware, but we have quite a number of hauora throughout Aotearoa, but they get 1% of the health budget. We're 16% of the population. How can hauora services meet the needs of our whānau hauora if they have 1% of the budget in health? And that's part of the problem. So I think they've got some stuff to work out.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so very much for joining us this afternoon, Dr. Huhana. Always wonderful to korero with you. We look forward to talking to you again next week. Just one point around the donations of organs. How are our whānau hauā, how are they placed when it comes to organ donations? What is the general sense of how what organ donation means to them?
You
Donate,
are
don't donate.
declined. You are declined if you have certain disabilities or certain conditions. So, for instance, my sister-in-law, who passed away without a transplant, was told when she got cancer that disqualified her until she's clear of cancer again. There's two cases, Roe Williams and Robert Namu, both disabled, mildly brain injury and intellectual. They were denied dialysis and they died because of their disabilities. It comes down to, will they include whānau hauā to qualify if they're in need of a transplant, or will they deny based on their disabilities? And at the moment, they're being denied dialysis. So will they get a transplant? I highly doubt it. You have to be healthy. You can't have any condition like cancer. You can't smoke, can't drink. It's quite a tight criteria, and a lot of our people smoke, drink, don't meet the health lines. So, and also, we don't have enough organs to transplant from Māori to Māori because different ethnic groups have different markers, and we get less suitable kidneys when we don't have our people donating kidneys on behalf of. You can do live transplants, but transplants from a dead person is less likely because it's not usually going to meet our need.
Thank you so very much for joining us. Wonderful to korero. Me tuku mihi ki a koe.
You too.
Tēnā
Nga te
koe.
wā.
That is Dr. Hu Hanahiki. Thanks very much to her for joining.